Praise God. That thank you, oh my Father. Amen. The Redeemer and the promise that comes with that. Grateful is the only word that I can think of. In the last line of that song, it talks about service. Being a servant of the Most High God. We're going to talk about that today. This minister, this next pillar. And I say next because there's more than just these little diagrams here as far as knowing if you are born again or not. There are evidences of it. And if you are truly born of the Spirit of God, you have a desire to serve the God who saved you. Amen? You want to do that. You want to do that desperately. There's a longing in the heart of somebody who has been loved by the Beloved. Right? That when God's love is poured out over you and you get a glimpse of who He really is in glory, you get a glimpse of His grace that He's given you, of the love that He's given you, or at least it is in my life, when I really got a hold of how Jesus got a hold of me, all I wanted to do was pour back into Him everything that was in me. I want to serve the Lord God Almighty with everything that's in me, with every ounce of energy that is in me. And I believe that when someone is really and truly converted, born again, truly trusted Jesus, all of a sudden that desire comes over them to be poured out for the Master's glory. To be whatever He wants you to be, to lose yourself in Him, to lose your life that you might gain life eternal, to lose your wants, your wills, to where you can honestly say within yourself, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. Regardless of the pressure, we talked about walking, spiritual warfare this morning, walking in the wilderness with God. When you come to that point where you say, all right, God, if I need to serve You in this manner, that's what I'll do. That manner may be giving up everything that you love on this earth, that you might serve Him, that you might know Him better. What value is it if a man were to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul?
No.
None. It'd be none. Yeah, so you got everything this world could offer and you lose the opportunity to be a tool in the hand of the Most High God. See, I've said this before, you can't hold on to the world and hold on to heaven equally. You can't do them both. You've got to make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve mammon, the world, the money of this world? Or are you going to serve the one true God? When you come to the realization that you can do nothing without Him, then you can start to embrace true servanthood. And the values. There's great value in serving God. Amen? You can have no greater pleasure in this world than to be one of God's tools, to be a servant of the Most High God. I pray that today as we start looking at this minister pillar, this servant of God, this desire that God gives us to be His tool, that we would find in our hearts and in our lives the ability to walk truly by faith. Because that's really what serving is. It's walking by faith and not by sight. God will call you, tell you to do some pretty crazy stuff. And He doesn't always tell you what the payment is at the end. But I'll guarantee you this, if you walk with God, you start serving the Lord and really serving Him, you will have a life more fulfilled. You will have peace that goes way on beyond understanding. It goes way further. You will have comfort. Even in the midst of your discomfort, you will have comfort. You will find yourself never ever alone, because the God who created all things is your Lord. And when He is your Lord and you're His servant,
no matter what happens. You can find peace in it. You can find love in it. You can find satisfaction in pouring your life into what the Lord has for you. Jesus asked this question in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He asked this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" That's a great question. As I was reading in the mountains this week, and I came across that verse just in my going through, and the Lord really spoke to my heart. And I've bounced on this several times through my sermons, through the way that I speak. Why do we call him Lord if we don't obey what he says? Do we understand what a lordship is? All right, the American vernacular, we would say boss. All right, your boss, and that's really bringing lordship down to its minuscule, the lowest denominator. Isn't that what math people call it? Come to his lowest. Lordship is way above that, but to get it where we can understand it, your boss. Who here has a boss? Right? If you've ever been employed, you had somebody over top of you. And if your boss said, "Hey, I wanted you to do clean the floors." Well, wait a second. I can't clean the floors. I'm the data systems manager, right? I can't lower myself to that point. Then he's really not your boss. Your boss says, "Hey, I need you to come in and come in to work on your day off." If he's really your boss, you do it, right? Well, that's my day off. You shouldn't take that from me. It's my rights. Well. And in your boss, you do have some rights. But under a lordship, you have no rights. You actually are a slave. You're a slave to somebody. And as a slave, can you say no to your master? Yeah, absolutely not.
Once.
Anyway, you can say it once. And then all of a sudden, that liberty gets taken away from you, because you don't like the result. But God doesn't move in results of anger. He's your Lord of love. He calls you out of cords of kindness, out of cords of love. And he says, "This is my example to you. I'm going to love you so much that it's going to be hard to resist being obedient to me." If you really want to experience the true peace and love and the fulfillment of God's presence in your life, you can't say no. The only answer to God is yes. You can ask why. There's nothing wrong with asking God why. But say why as you're on your way to do it. Jesus told this parable, or this story, I believe it was, an account about two sons. One, he said, "Go into my field and work." And the boy said, "Oh yeah, Daddy, here I go. I'm going to go to the field." He starts heading out to the field, but he goes somewhere else. Never really goes to the field. He asks his other son, "Will you go to the field and work?" And the boy says, "No, I won't do it." But after thought about it a little bit, he did it. So it's okay when God asks you to do something that you don't really want to do. You think about it for a minute, and it may seem unpleasant at the beginning. But you humble yourself and you say, "Yeah, although I don't want to go to the field, you are my Lord. I'm going to go to the field and do what you want me to." Which of those two children were the obedient ones? The ones who said yes and didn't do it, or said no and did it? Well, it's the one who said, "No, I don't want to do it, and I did it anyhow." Jesus, before he went to the cross, he prayed three times, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He always did what the Father told him to do. He was an obedient son. And Jesus, through his loveship, his love lordship over us, is asking us to be obedient to the God who gave everything for us. Right? Now the question is, why do you call him Lord, Lord? Or why do I call him Lord, Lord? And don't do the things that he tells me to do. As I was looking up servanthood and going through it, there's a lot of scriptures about being a servant and being obedient to the Lord. But again, just in my readings, I was in
psalm, in Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. But there are several verses in these psalms that talk about the servant's heart. So if you'll open up your Bible to Psalm 119. And I'm just going to read through some of these because there's a lot of them in it. And so the true servant of God would have a desire to keep his statutes, would have a desire to keep the law of God. And so in I don't want to read it all, Lord. We'll do what I have just marked out. Verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Listen to what he said. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Who here wants to be dealt bountifully with God? Consider yourself his servant. God wishes to pour out into you his truth. He wishes to pour out into you his commandments. He wishes to pour out into you his testimonies. But he needs a servant's heart to do that. God doesn't want to pour his power into an individual that doesn't want to serve him, who isn't willing to be molded and changed and conformed to the image of God. Will he do it a little bit? Sure, he will. But really what he wants is a human that is pliable, willing to be conformed into the image of God. So what he says just before that, he tells us in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. A true servant rejoices in the testimonies of God, as much as in all riches. See, I want the testimonies of God more than I want the riches of this world. His riches, his mercy, his bounty is better. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. All right, as a servant of God, what it's telling us right here, will you meditate? All right, when was the last time you meditated on the word of God? The testimonies of God. Now, I'm not talking about sitting in the lotus position and going, om, om, right? When you read the word of God, stop. In the Psalms, it says, Selah. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Let them sink in deeply. The testimonies of God. Do you know what God's testimonies are? Have you meditated? Have you thought about them more than just reading it like the a Democrat Chronicle or a newspaper or some book that you're reading? To meditate that God says something to you through his word, not by accident, but absolutely on purpose, that he might reach the servant of God to give that servant direction, not for himself, but for the glory of the God who called him. He's calling you to go and to do. He's telling you to slow down, to meditate on the precepts. I have respect for thy ways. The true servant of God respects God's way. Right? When the Lord says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not... here's the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. How about that one? If you don't do it, are you respecting it? If your mom or your dad or your boss on this earth were to tell you to respect me by, I don't know, doing your job, showing up on time, doing the best you can do, that's showing respect to your authority. When your parents say, go clean up your room, right? And instead of cleaning up your room, you take all of your garbage and you shove it under your bed. Was that respecting your parents? No. That's showing disrespect, right? Because you're not obeying what they said. If you want to respect the Lord God, you need to pay attention to his testimonies and apply those words, those scriptures, that lifestyle to your life as a servant of the Most High God. Again, I'm going to come back to this several times. A servant no longer has a will of his own. He only does what his master tells him. Right? As a servant, he says, well, Lord, I don't want to do that. Master, I don't want to do that. Like Dave said, you might say it once. You ain't going to say it twice.
I learned this back when I was a youngin. Y'all might think this is harsh. Well, your parents beat you. Okay, so what? I lived through it. But if I would have told my mom, no, I'm not doing that, you know the first thing she'd do? Smack me right in the mouth, backhanded, hard as I felt she could. And I've tasted my own blood because I was rebellious to the thing that she said do. Okay. Amen?
Amen?
You know what that, right? And that helped. You know, because the next time she said do something, I remembered the fat lip. I don't want a fat lip again. So I humbled myself under the authority of my mom, and you know what I did? I washed the laundry, if that was what it was. I did the dishes, if that was what it was. I vacuumed. I went outside and picked up animal excrement, right, if that's what it was. Things that I didn't want to do, but I was a servant. If you have a dog, you know what I mean, right? Dogs. Where do dogs use the bathroom? Hopefully not in your living room, but outside. And before you go mow the lawn, you better pick that stuff up. Amen? And if your parent tells you to do that, you do it. You show respect to your mom and dad, but you don't show respect to the Lord. When the Lord tells you something to do, it's not a high suggestion. It is a command. If you're going to be a servant of God and be treated as a servant of God, you better do what God tells you to do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Then he says, I will have delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. A servant doesn't forget what his master tells him to. Right? A good employee doesn't forget what his boss tells him to do or reminds him to do. I have all of these. The next verse we're going to look at is 38. And so, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted unto thy fear, Are we devoted to the fear of the Lord? You know why I obeyed what my parents said? I feared them. Amen? I did. A real, honest to goodness fear. And I know a lot of folks say, my parents love me, sort of, on days, right? Yeah. Those who come from a good family, right? Your parents loved you. They didn't want to make you harmed in any way. But they would tell you to do things, right, that weren't convenient. Pick up the stuff on the outside. Pick up your toys. Clean your room. Wash the laundry. Dust, not just around the things, but dust under, right? Who here had the dusting job in their house, right? Was it okay to dust around stuff? No, you had to clean the countertop off, dust it, and put things back. That's being an obedient servant to the one who called you. Now, if we're going to be obedient servants to God, there is an obedience factor that you do it to the best of your ability, not how much you can get away with it. In schools today, right, are the teachers are supposed to be your lords over the classroom, right? I mean, Odette, right there, she's a teacher, right? And so if you had one of your students to write a paper on something, I don't know, you have a subject, write a paper on whatever it is, and that child goes and plagiarizes, or nowadays you can get the internet to write things. My grandson showed me this, all right? And he says, look, I can write a 500-word essay in like 2 seconds. I said, you cannot. And he opened up his Apple thingy, right? And he spoke to it, and he says, I want a 500-word essay on blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember. And you know what it did? It spit it out. It spit it out perfectly, right? And then he says, well, I can't have it perfect. I need 35% mistake. And then the AI corrected it and made it imperfect so it would show, right? We don't have an AI. Right? We have a God. He wants us to do our best. So if you found out your student was doing that through the internet, what kind of grade would he get?
Well, I'm going to kindergarten this year, so.
Okay, I promoted you to a 12th grade class, all right? So if you were teaching 12th graders, right, and you had put your your time, your influence, your studies into their life, for you showed your love, your mercy, your grace to them, you taught them, and they're senior in high school, and they did that to you, what kind of grade would they get?
I would consider it cheating. They'd have to redo it.
I would fail them. They wouldn't redo it. They would go back. All right? You're failed. All right? I don't know. I guess in schools they don't fail people anymore. Flunk them. Anyhow, that's why I went to first grade twice. Actually, I went to kindergarten twice. I went to first grade twice. I went to second grade twice. I went to third grade twice. I passed fourth grade. I went to fifth grade twice. Okay? Why? Because I wasn't a servant to my teacher. I was rebellious. So,
how does an 18-year-old survive in fifth grade?
It was really hard. Really and truly. I got out of school. In the beginning of the, I made it through the sixth grade. The beginning of the seventh grade, I got out. I was 17 years old. In the sixth grade, I was 17 years old. I was the only sixth grader who had a beard, a driver's license, right? I could take the teacher out for drinks. So anyhow, but it's why I had a rebellious spirit. I wasn't a servant. I didn't want to do that. But now I'm a servant to the Most High God. And if he says, I want you to spend time in prayer, you know what I need to do? I need to spend time in prayer. I do not want to disappoint my Lord and my Master. I didn't care if I disappointed my parents. I didn't care if I disappointed my teacher. I didn't care of anybody else's opinion about me until I got saved. Until I found out of the love of God, how the Lord God actually cares for me. And now, all of a sudden, I do have a more of a servant's heart than I've ever had before in my life. And I want to do the things that please him. So, I meditate on his word. I think about what he says. I think about it and I look at the pros and cons. If I don't do it, I might get the dainties of this life. I might get a few fun things. I might live in sin for a while. But the word of God says, sin is pleasurable for a season, but what does it bring? Death. Destruction. So what do I really want? Destruction or do I want life? I can't have life without Christ. I can't have a right understanding of him until I understand who he is. His love, his grace, his goodness. And so I've decided through his word being established, it says in 38, establish, that means establish, it means to plant, to firmly believe in, to establish thy word unto thy servant. I want God to take his living word and plant it in me, to establish it in me, to give me a concrete, a foundation that cannot be moved. You only get that as a servant of the Most High. You can't have that firm foundation if you're not the servant of God. Amen? You might have a firm foundation and a faith in your 401 or the economy of this age or your personal job. Who here thought that they had a good, steady job and then got fired or laid off? Amen, right, sister? You know exactly what I'm... This is fresh in your heart, right? So you thought you had this good thing going, and you were building everything on that, and then all of a sudden, the boss rips the carpet out from under you. Ain't nothing you can do about that unless you're established in the Word of God. God says that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called for his purpose. The world snatched your world out from under you. You know what that left you with? Nothing but God. And as a servant of God, although what you thought was a firm foundation became sinking sand. God says that his word cannot be moved. It does not move. So if you're a servant of the Most High God, regardless of what the world does to you, you have a soft landing. Now you may think about it and say, wow, my soft landing sure was bumpy. It was bumpy for a reason. To have faith. To see that God is faithful in and through all of these things. In the middle of the storm, you never see the blessings of God. Right? When you're in the middle of the storm, a hurricane's happening around you, glasses are breaking, the roof's coming off the house, Cows are flying through the air like on the Wizard of Oz, right? Moo.
But when you're in the middle of God's obedience, when those words are established in your life, when the confidence is all in Christ, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. You have a firm foundation that is found only as a servant does.
Cool thing about a servant very seldom has to do anything outside of what the master tells him to do. You know that? When you're really a servant of God, God tells you to do, come over here and do this. Hey, Philip, I want you to walk out into the wilderness and meet a eunuch on the road. Right, that's what I want you to do. And the servant says, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Or Ananias, when he went to talk to Saul before he became Paul. And Saul, he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the church. Right, he got blind. God blinded him, put scales over his eyes, sent him out on a street called Straight and talked to a guy named Ananias, who was just a regular guy, a servant of the Most High God. And God said, hey, Ananias, I want you to go and talk to Saul. And Ananias said, hey, God, he has permission to kill me and to throw me or throw my family in jail. He can do that. A servant didn't say no, God. He went and did the hard thing. God told him that this man is a tool in my hand, and I'm going to use him mightily. So what did Ananias do? He cowered under the couch. No, he got up, he went to the street called Straight, he found Saul of Tarsus, he laid hands on him, he prayed for him, and scales fell off of his eyes. Amen? Later in the book of Acts, where the church was being persecuted, and they started going to different places, there was Philip, he went to Samaria because of the persecution in Jerusalem. When he was in Samaria, a revival started. People started getting saved. It was a servant of God preaching the word of God. God spoke to him in the middle of whenever, it doesn't say morning, noon, or night. He said, get up and go into the desert. Go to the wilderness. He didn't tell him which way to go. He just said, get up and go. And a servant, you know what he did? He got up and he went. Guess who he met on the way? The Ethiopian eunuch that was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And they happened from a desert over here and a caravan over here, and they happened to meet up exactly at the right spot. How was he able to meet exactly at the right spot, exactly at the right time? A servant didn't say, no, God. He said, yes, Lord. He said, yes, Lord, and he went. And he went into a place that he had nowhere, didn't know where he was going, didn't know how he was going to get there. God didn't say, hey, I'm going to have you in 3.5 days meet this guy on the road, and this is what's going to happen. He didn't tell him the whole story. He said, servant, go, and the servant went. And when the servant went, he fulfilled the will of God, not just in the Ethiopian's life, but the Ethiopian took that message back to Ethiopia and brought others to Christ. And then at the same time, Philip got translated and moved from there to Antioch, right in front of the eunuch that he just baptized. You need to read the account. It is a wonderful story. But you can't read the story if you don't read your Bible. So anybody who's been reading their Bible, that was old news to you. But it happened because he was a servant. He wasn't doing his own will. He was doing the will of God. So when you take his word and his statutes and you apply them in your life with fear, so there is fear in both of those. Do you fear Saul that's able to take your life, or the wilderness that's able to consume your life, or do you fear God more? Those two servants, they feared God more. And what did they do? They did exactly what God told them to do, and God was glorified in that. All right? So fearing God's a good thing. I truly believe it is. Verse 65, if thou wilt thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Because I was afflicted, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Wow. Look at what the psalmist said right here. First, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Do you trust God? A servant trusts his master. I don't have to understand what he says. I just got to do it. Amen? O Lord, according to thy word, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Only the obedient servant gets taught good knowledge. He only gets taught good judgment. I have believed thy commandments. So how do I know? By faith, I believe the commandments of God. And then I apply those commandments of God as a servant to God in my life, and God gives me good judgments. He makes me not trust in the things of this world, but the things that are of God. That's a good judgment. He gives me knowledge that goes way on beyond book learning. By a true servant that does what his Lord tells him to, has a deeper understanding of the things of life than he who doesn't know God or doesn't trust God. Amen? And so as you do that, and then he says, before I was afflicted, before I had hard times, before God allowed the world to snatch the rug out from under me, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I rested my life under the chastening hand of the Lord and trusted him as a servant of God, I went my way. And every time I went my way instead of God's way, I went bad. Amen. How about you guys? When you go your way, when you trust on your understanding, where does it normally get you? Nowhere good. Nowhere good. But when you trust God, as the Lord, as the provider of all good things to you, all good and perfect gifts come from where? God, the Lord of light, the Lord of truth. Oh, well, I planned my whole life. My ladder, my structure is leaned up against this wall. And God says, that's not your wall. But God, I love this wall. I want to get to the top of it. But you're his servant, and God says, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to snatch the carpet, the bottom of the ladder out from underneath you so that you can fall down. Oh, that's affliction. I don't want to do that. But if you really want to know the fullness of God, the power of God, the security of God, the might of God, the all sufficiency of God as his servant, let him snatch the ladder because he has a better building for you. He has a better place for you to go, but you can't go two places. You can only have one Lord. You can only have one master. Either you're going to be the master of your destination, or you're going to trust God to be the master of your destination. Wendy said it earlier today, I didn't plan on being in this position in my life at this age. Amen? Didn't plan on being here. But God has me right where he wants me to be. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I don't have to know the answer. I just have to know the now. Right now, in this moment, at this time, I'm in the middle of his will. Bonnie's going through some stuff right now, honey. I feel your heart. You don't understand it. Be a servant of God. Trust right where you're at. God has you right where you're at right now. Amen. Steve's going through some stuff in his life. Trust God right here, right now, where you're at. Be his servant. Walk in his commandments. You do it the best the best you can. Excuse me, I got choked on breakfast. And so, anyhow, you do the best you can with what God has given you and let the rest go. Deb, you ain't got to worry about it. You don't. Trust God. Move forward. Right? Be a servant of the Most High God. Do you believe he has your back? Do you believe if you're truly his servant and you're doing his will, no matter what happens, it is absolutely perfect? Doesn't have to be comfortable. You got to believe those things by faith. Wendy should tell you it's not comfortable. Bonnie will tell you it's not comfortable. Steve will tell you right now it's not comfortable. But as a servant of God, I'm going to move forward in faith. Why? Because God called for this reason. Esther, for this reason you were born. This is the time. This is why. And it doesn't have to feel good. See, too often, when we are our own Lord, then all I'm looking for is what feels good right now. I'm looking for the easiest way out of it. But see, unless you walk through it with him, A servant walks through the trouble. He doesn't avoid it. A servant says, yeah, I don't understand it completely, God, but I trust you are my Lord, and I trust whatever happens is for your glory, not for my glory. So I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And as I walk by faith, I experience God in a real new way every single moment of every single day. Right? And so I'm saying right. How many times have I said right today? I've got to change the way I speak. Because when you say the same thing over and over again, it makes you think that you don't really know what you're talking about. But I do, because as a servant of God, I have walked this way. I've held on to His testimonies. The longer I've served Him, the sweeter He grows. Amen? And that is, it's a song, but it's such a true song. It is absolutely the truth. I lean on His, I don't lean on my understanding. I lean on His will, His ways, His righteousness. Again, this is just the beginning of the teaching on being a servant or a servant's heart. Learning to be a true servant of God. Learning to be the full, have expectations in God and God alone, I guess is where that thought is going to. And Philippians chapter 2. I have 5 through 9, but there's so much to go on. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made like unto the likeness of man. All right? Look at everything that Paul just wrote to the Philippians here. In verse 2, he says, if there be any reward, encouragement in Christ, who here wants some encouragement in Christ? Be his servant. Because it comes out that who took on the form of a servant. God, Jesus, took on the form of a servant. And if there is any reward, any encouragement in Christ, serve ye. And a servant doesn't think himself better than someone else, because he keeps on right there. If there is fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye, verse 2, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. Then in this one accord of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. A servant doesn't strive, especially against his master. Jesus did not strive against the Father. Right? When even before he was born, the Father said, listen, I'm going to go and take part of me, and I'm going to allow myself to be born and made into the image of man. God made into the image of man. Huh. Talk about a humbling. But the servant's heart said, yes, Lord, take me out of glory. Put me in a human cocoon for a while. Who here is willing to do that? To be taken out of your visions of glory and to be made into a worm. That's what God did. God left the throne of God and became a worm like you. Can you imagine the humbling? And he did this to be a servant. And being in the likeness of God, he didn't consider it to be robbery. But he made himself of no effect, becoming a servant. It says no effect, but God had great effect in becoming a servant. You want to have good effect? Stop thinking your way is the way that needs to be done and start thinking that God's way is the only way to be done. It's not your will that makes a difference. Amen? Jesus didn't say, my will be done. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In his example of prayer, I'll just call it high priestly prayer. He made himself of no reputation. A servant has no reputation. You know, you humble yourself because Jesus humbled himself. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So looking at this, who really wants to be a servant of God? That's a question, yes or no? Do you want to be a servant of God? Yeah, you do. Get out of his way. Because the only thing that's stopping you from being a servant of God is you. You're the only one in the way of God's will in your life. It's because you're saying your will is better than his will. But God, this is uncomfortable. Too bad. I didn't tell you to be comfortable. I told you to be a servant. And if you're my servant, you can take this feeling of unbearableness, this hardship, because you can have faith that God doesn't let anything be done to you that doesn't affect for the glory of God. The hard things of this life, a servant bows himself under the hardship of this life that he might give glory to his master. So, Jesus asked again, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say do? Now, it's uncomfortable. Well, then he ain't your Lord. All right? If you say, no, Lord, no, God, then guess what? He's not your God. Those two words are not compatible. If he's really your master, you don't tell him no, even if it isn't, or especially if it's uncomfortable. Who here is really willing to embrace the uncomfortableness? Verse 8, and being formed in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A real servant's heart, a real servant, is willing to be humbled and become obedient, even unto death.
He who thinks he... You're not alone.
You're not alone.
He's with you.
Amen. Every inch of the way. Every inch of the way. And you don't have to see him to know that he's there. He's there whether you know it or not. Go ahead, Alan.
Do you have 13 through 15?
I'm sure I do. I just closed my Bible. Go ahead, read it out.
For it is God which worketh to do to his good pleasure, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Amen. You look at, as he finished that, God works in you to do of his good pleasure. A servant is willing to be used by God and trusting in him that he's going to do it for his good pleasure. What God is doing, the uncomfortableness in your right now present situation, is going to work for good. It's for his good pleasure. It pleased the Father to see his Son on the cross. Do you know that? That it pleased God to see Jesus being crucified. We have a hard time wrapping our mind around that. You know why it pleased him? Because through his death, you might have the righteousness of God. Through his payment, you might be made whole. Through him pouring himself out as a servant, that's how he made you holy before the Lord. So he was obedient on even the death of the cross. I think it's very important that he said, even the death of the... That's a horrible way to die. Despising the shame. Amen? He despised the shame of the cross. See, when we see the cross of Jesus, we think of the guy, the picture that some artist made, all in a little loincloth hanging. No, Jesus was nude. He was naked. There was no clothes on his. The only thing that covered him was the blood that he shed. It was an embarrassment. And he willingly, he could have said no at any time. He willingly, as a servant to the Father and as a servant to you.
Perfect love.
Perfect love. Servanthood is perfect love and complete trust. Perfect love and complete trust. Do we really trust God enough to be the servant of God? Because God's going to call you out into a wilderness. It will be uncomfortable for a moment, maybe for a while. Depends on how long, right? The quicker you submit and humble yourself before God, the shorter it will be. The longer you fight back, kick, complain, gripe, groan, fuss. In fact, you might even do it to where you don't even enter into the promised land, right? Think about when they crossed over with Moses. Right? And that generation that whined, that would not trust God, would not be the servant of God, would not cross over and take the land, but send out spies. All of that generation died. None of that generation was allowed to cross into the promised land because of their grumbling and because of their unbelief, because of their lack of servanthood to their Lord. The Lord said, get up and take it. And they said, no, there's giants in the land. I'm afraid. Right? And God said, all right. You don't want it? To hell with you. That sounds harsh when a pastor says that. But I think God said that to them. You don't want life? You can die in death. You don't want to trust me? You can die where you're at. You don't want to be my servant? You ain't got to be my servant. But this one who you are serving will lead you to death. So the beginning of servanthood. This is the beginning of trying to understand servanthood. All right? First know that he is God. You're not. Amen. If you think you are the ruler of your own destiny, you are a fool. Because you're not. Either if you trust Lucifer and Mammon, right? That rug will be, right, Deb? That rug will be snatched out from you. Ooh, I have all of this. Look at what I got. God says, you ain't got nothing. I trust in my 401k, and then the bottom falls out of the market. Yeah. I trust in my retirement. I tell you what, you better be prepared to work till you die. I don't see retirement in the Bible. Don't see it nowhere. You know? That's a man-made concept. Social Security, you don't need Social Security. You need security in Christ. But that only comes from a servant's heart. That's one who's willing to trust his master regardless of what happens. These are the beginnings of the teachings of servanthood. And so, I got out of this little piece of paper, I covered that top. Right there, a little bit of red. There's two lines in red right there. It's Luke 6 and Psalm 119. So that's it. There's a lot more to this. And I just have started to crack the egg myself. And I want you to know that I have not made it. Okay, I don't want you to think that I'm standing up here saying I am the one. I am not the one. Jesus is the one. What I have found through the 20 plus years of walking closely, I mean really walking humbly with my Lord, no matter what happens, he's got my back, he's got my front, he's got my left side, he's got my right side. There is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper, not because I'm all that, but my master, my Lord, he covers me with his righteousness. Because I humble myself in the hands of the Most High God. He's got you. If you want him, you know. And so praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for your word and your love.
Lord, we lift up our hearts. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would seek us, help us to seek you out with a firm faith, believing that obedience is better than sacrifice, Lord. That walking with you as a humble servant, being protected by your rod, your staff that comforts me, Lord, we're grateful for those things, those promises in your word. Father, help us to seek your will and not our own. Help us, Lord Father, to be willing to be poured out as drink offerings before you. Lord, we do ask that we would hear what the Spirit says to us and that we would be obedient to it. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.